Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Louis County. I'm just one of your humble hosts, Sean Boyle, and with me is
Ashley Mock.
And welcome to the half-hour radio program where we brighten your day every Sunday. Yeah, I took some liberties there to say that we're brightening your day, but I think we are. We're brightening your day to talk about resources and things that are available in our great community we call St. Lucie County. Now, we at the Children's Services Council, got to make this very clear, are not radio show and or media professionals. Although we've been, you know, attempting this for about 9 years now. We're grateful
for our
audience.
Although we play them on the radio.
Yes, we play them on the radio, but not in real life. Because what we do at the Children's Services Council is focus on five priorities. And those priorities are, one, making sure every baby is a healthy baby. Two, stopping child abuse before it happens. Three, keeping kids off the streets. Four, keeping them in school. And five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And we do that by developing, funding programs and systems of care that are available to all families in St. Lucie County.
And while this show is obviously the most entertaining way to learn about them, it is not the only way. We share a lot of information on our website at cscslc.org, along with information that we share about upcoming events, important things for parents to know, and all kinds of other fun stuff on our Facebook and Instagram pages. So you can follow us there to stay in touch with all of the fun things that are happening in our community.
Yes. Social media is our friend, right?
Sometimes.
Facebook, Instagram, look us up. I say that mantra out loud because sometimes I have doubts about that.
Oh, I see. You were just telling yourself.
Yeah, I'm putting it out into the ether there so that it will happen.
Okay.
I say bright and sunshine. I think that was subconsciously. I know we're on the radio, but I am wearing an unusual color. I usually don't wear bright colors, but
you
I'm actually
are
wearing
it. Very sunshiny.
I know. This is what's happening for what's happening to me. Okay, so before we get to our guest, and we have a great guest and a guest that I think maybe people aren't familiar with her, but hopefully are familiar with the program and the initiative. But we've got a couple things upcoming. One is our partnership, our continued partnership with the Van Duzer Foundation, Big Apple Pizza. And that includes both Big Apple and Fort Pierce right across from the college and Big Apple off Bay Shore. We are partnering with them for their Read to Succeed initiative, which is a promotion effort to get students to read. It's a simple concept. We provide the books at both Big Apples. Students come in, they grab a book, they read it, they come back, kind of fill out a little thing talking about what the book was. They turn it in, and guess what they get, Ashley?
What could they possibly get from Big Apple?
A free piece of pizza, and a slice of pizza, and a Pepsi product, which, hello, that, you know, I would do that. I wonder if there's adult books. I would eat pizza every day if that was possible.
We'll have to ask about that, see what we can do for you. It's a really cool initiative and, you know, great partners between Big Apple and the Van Duzer Foundation. And there's a bunch of other organizations that are involved too. But last week was the first week, and they had great turnouts at both locations for the schools that hosted nights there. And I think the other thing that's really cool about it is that through Scott Van Duzer, the owner of Big Apple Pizza, and his Van Duzer Foundation, he's giving back proceeds from the sales from that night. So I think the schools last week got somewhere between like $500 and $700 each, which is amazing for them. Yeah. And so that's continuing. So you can follow us on Facebook. You can follow Big Apple on Facebook. They're every Wednesday for like the next several weeks. There's a school that's hosting a night there. And if nothing else, it's just a chance for you to stop in and get dinner and support a local school in the process.
And also, let's be honest, you know, stop by any night, not even the school nights, because we also want to support these businesses that are giving back to the community.
Absolutely.
And I think the pizza and the books and everything. And we've had some Bookman sightings at the events as well. But also the big news about this is the school that has the most readers by percentage of their student population at the end of whatever time period, I don't know if it's the end of the school year or calendar year, they are going to receive $10,000 for their school. So that's big, right? Competition. Turns out readers apparently. So
we like competition. We're
fairly competitive. So yes. So the other thing, we have an event, our own event, if we can self-promote here, on November 8th at 12 PM And it's in partnership with the St. Lucie County Chamber of Commerce. You can find this information on the St. Lucie Chamber of Commerce website, as well as our website and or social media. But we're giving our update luncheon. It's our second annual partnership update luncheon. And to me, the best part of it is the awards that we give out. We're giving out.
Because they're the most fun.
Right. They're the Catherine Basile Champion for Children Awards. And we've got a pretty good track record recently of getting the award winners there without them realizing that they're there to receive an award. So it makes it even more exciting because they're so surprised.
So you should come because maybe you'd win.
Yeah. I'm just saying what we do is we check the registration. And if our award winners aren't there, we're like, you're not coming to our event. So register early so we don't have to make those follow-up calls.
And, that's for sure.
And lastly, before we get to our guests, I just wanted to, this past weekend, I had the opportunity to attend the Save Our Children's Fathers Honoring Fathers Breakfast, of which I'm going to brag a minute. I've received an award for that a couple of years ago, but it was really cool because, first of all, I don't know if you realize that Donna Mills, school board member Donna Mills, who's obviously associated with Save Our Children, she can legit sing. Like she sang a couple of songs. Oh my goodness. Like next level singing. Yes.
So can she come sing at the concert? So I don't have.
That's why I'm bringing it up to you. Just putting that out there. But also it was cool. They had that similar Save Our Children kids there serving the food, but Dr. Prince won, our superintendent of schools. And you know, normally you get those awards, it's in the morning, it's a breakfast. He got choked up in emotion, and I got choked up in emotion because he talked about how growing up, and I don't think I'm stealing anything because he said it in a public forum, but he mentioned that like he brought two of his kids and he started off by saying how much he loved them. And he wanted to tell them there on the podium when he was getting the award how much he loved them. And then he further told his story growing up, and he said that it wasn't till his father was on his dying bed that he had heard that was the first time his father ever told him he loved him. And that's just another reminder. And, you know, we talk about all the work that we do. We talk about all these programs. It's just a reminder that as an adult, as a caregiver, as a parent, a grandparent, whatever it is, your words matter, your actions matter. And you have the ability to kind of set the trajectory for those young people in your life by building that relationship. And it was a great reminder. It was a very powerful moment. And, you know, it's something that every time I see Dr. Prince, I'm going to remember that because, you know, we already know he's good at what he does. He's a, you know, self-proclaimed data nerd, but I can relate to that, but I don't know. It really stuck with me, not only the event, but his words and how important it is, you know, cause you know, I know we have a guest, but you know, I grew up in a very traditional household, and you know, it wasn't until I got married that I didn't realize people hugged each other. I was like, you know, me, you see me, I'm like, oh, we're hugging now? That's awkward because I've never experienced that. And so it was just a powerful moment and just a very straightforward reminder of our impact.
I think too, it's important to note that having someone like that leading an organization like the school district is really important, setting that example, because there are a lot of kids in our community who don't have that experience at home, you know, similar to yours. They're not getting that kind of experience at home, but they are getting it at school from their teachers, from their educators, from the staff at the school. And that, you know, having somebody at the top of that organization that talks about that as a priority is a big deal. Because a lot of our kids, the best way to overcome trauma is with resilience. And that's how you build it, with those deep connections. So that's awesome.
And for those, you know, and this, I'm going to speak to the men here because I actually had this conversation with another friend that was a guy. As men, we often equate love with just like romantic love. That's the only time we ever say I love. But, you know, you can love friends, you can love and deeply care about your kids. And if you feel that way, don't hesitate on saying that to them, because you just never know. You may never ever get that opportunity again. So, all right, let's invite our guest in.
Okay. So I'm excited that she is with us, this guest in particular is with us, because we have interviewed this program several times on the radio show, but I don't think we've ever had her be our guest on the radio show. So I am excited from the amazing, and I don't think anybody would not know 2-1-1 of Palm Beach and the Treasure Coast, but we get to be graced with their esteemed leader today. So... Did I talk you up enough, Sharon? Is that good?
Listen, I always tell my staff, don't say stuff like that. It's just like, it's a casual hi. So it's you, Ashley and Sean. Thanks for having me.
The truth of the story is they're like, oh my gosh, we are not going on that show again. If Sean talks about voice impressions again, and it was a short straw, and Sharon said, you know what? I'll take one for the team as a good leader. Well,
I'll do it, and
said, she'll come on. That's what really happened.
No, I'm happy to talk to you guys anytime. It's awesome.
So I said there's probably not a lot of people, and I would hope that our listeners, especially who have been with us for a while, are not unfamiliar with 2-1-1 and what you guys do. But maybe there's somebody who just moved into town that's listening to the show for the first time. So for that person, can you give us kind of a quick overview of 2-1-1 and the services that you provide in our community?
Sure. What I like to say is that we are the helpline and the hotline, right? So we are the place to turn when people don't know where to go, and we're 24/7. So people can call us any time of the day or the night. They can call, they can text, they can email, they can chat. You know, we want to be there however you need it. And for some more vulnerable populations that might need a little extra support, care coordination, navigation then can happen in our resource center, you know, on the phone or in an email. We have some auxiliary projects, programs where staff can be assigned to give a little extra help. And that is for elders, those daily sunshine calls that Sean likes to do voices for. So we got that. We've got some programming for children, making sure that they're developing on track, for our veterans. And one of the newest ones that we just launched is for first responders, actually. So we're getting that off the ground now. So we're the place to turn when you don't know where to go.
So obviously the phone number is 2-1-1. You know, we always ask people to get out their phone numbers. I think it's very self-explanatory in the name, but just in case anybody was like, what's the number? You literally pick up your phone, dial 2-1-1.
Dial 2-1-1.
But you mentioned text, and I think that's, you know, we saw this phenomenon, and Ashley, I think you remember, it was probably maybe five years ago. I don't know, time's an abstract anymore with COVID years in there. But a lot of people weren't picking up the phone and actually calling. They would message. And there's a little bit of security behind that if you're asking for help and you're in a position where you don't want to be as vulnerable. So I know, and anybody who has teenagers knows, like, you know, you could call your child, they're going to deny your phone call, but you could text them and they'll probably get back to you. So what is the text number?
It's 898-211. 898-211. And some smart person showed us that actually, if it equates to the number of the letters, text TXT. So it's TXT 211. 898-211. Clever, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I didn't either.
Yeah, you're totally right, Sean. More and more people want to text for a whole variety of reasons, especially the younger demographics. I have to say, my voicemail is constantly getting clogged up, and I don't have enough space. And I tell people, please text me, you know, just text me.
Do they ever text you just to say your voicemail is full? I've gotten those before.
Yes. So I sympathize with people who want to text, and we make that available for you if that's what you prefer.
Well, and I think it's important because you mentioned it. It's for information, obviously. So if you're like, you know, I need help with finding, you know, counseling for my child, who do I call? You could go look up, you know, you could Google it. You could go to the Yellow Pages. I'm joking. Does anybody use the Yellow Pages anymore?
No, don't do that. Don't listen to them.
Or you could just call 2-1-1 because they are kind of the database of all agencies that can help families. Really across, I mean, obviously you're in the Palm Beach Treasure Coast area, but 2-1-1 is statewide, correct?
2-1-1 is national. So over 98% of the U.S. population has access to 211. Now, in each locality, the 211 operates a little bit differently. And I like to think that our model here in Florida is the best, which is called blended. It means that we do the helpline work, which is that connecting to resources that you're mentioning, Sean, but we also do crisis work. So our staff are trained suicide prevention counselors as well. So you're really getting a higher caliber of help, and it means that you can call that one number no matter what you need. Now, that leads me to 988. Can I talk about that a little bit? Because that's
of course.
Yeah. All right. So because not every 211 nationally does the suicide prevention the way we do here in Florida, nationally, they selected a different number to be the suicide prevention number, and they selected 988. So I understand that there was a rationale for that in much of the country, but the dilemma for us in Florida is it creates a lot of confusion. Am I calling 211? Am I calling 988? Does 988 mean that 211 isn't there anymore? All it means is that long 10-digit suicide prevention number that used to be the number is now easier to remember, 988. So before you could call the 800 number and you would get our 211 team, now you can call 988 and you'll get our same team. So 211 or 988, you get the same local trained team.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I think that even when 988 first started, you know, getting discussed and being talked about, I'm not sure that I understood why we in Florida had both.
Yes.
But I like the way you described it. We're just special and highly trained, and you know,
it's call forwarding. It's just call forwarding to 211, right? I'm just saying.
Exactly.
So, but I think that's important. So I keep saying that because this is such an important program and resource. And, you know, obviously we want you to listen to the show, pass on this information. It's really simple, folks. Make sure everybody you know and love has the 211 number down, have it programmed in their phone. But let's talk about the crisis part of it, right? Because I don't know, you know, I've personally experienced crisis in my family a couple times, particularly around, you know, mental health crisis. And it never happens between the hours of 9 and 5.
Right.
It's midnight. It's 1 a.m. Right. It's 3 in the morning.
Right.
And when you say 24 hours, it's legitimately 24 hours.
Every hour of every day. We have often when we hire new staff people, you know, people are trying to figure out scheduling and holidays. So inevitably somebody will say, are we closed on Christmas? You know, are we closed for Labor Day? We are never closed. Never. We are always open.
Well, especially in the holidays, I can imagine. I mean, that I'm going to imagine the crisis call line calls probably go up at that time.
We dedicate a lot of our radio show time during the holidays to Sean and I receiving counseling for our family encounters.
it's tough. And, and like you mentioned, Sean, crises seem to happen at the odd times when a lot of places aren't open. And that is definitely one of the areas of value that we bring. And, you know, just like your family has experienced it, so many people that I talk to, board members, constituents, partners, leadership, you know, crisis isn't just one segment of the population. It's something that most of us experience at some point in our life, really, truly is. So many, many people have told me that they've reached out to us during those moments. And we're grateful that we can be here for people when they need us.
Well, and sometimes, you know, and I'm just going from my family's experience. A lot of times it comes when you're alone, right? And your thoughts start coming in. You know, the flow of the day is done and you get those thoughts and you sometimes, you know, make some assumptions or go down some dark tunnels. And sometimes, you know, at 3 a.m, you're not going to be calling your parents up going, hey, I'm going through something. You just kind of suffer alone, but they could call or text 211 and just have somebody to talk to.
Yes. And we tell people that. So people want to know, a common question is, what happens when we call? So we already said that you can text. That's fine. And what'll happen when you text is we're going to ask for your zip code to make sure that you're getting routed, because that's also a national number. So you want to be routed to your local, our team. But if you call, I always tease, we start with hi, right? You're going to get a voicemail that's just going to ask if you're in crisis or not, or if you need Spanish speaking or not. And then you may have to wait a few seconds. We try to answer those crisis calls within within 30 seconds, actually. So we'll try to get to you fast, but you'll wait for a moment until somebody's available. And then you're going to get a caring person who chose to do this work because we want to talk to people when they need that help, right? And they're going to say hi, and they're going to say, tell me what's going on. How can I help you? And just let you lead the conversation. And we encourage people to call before it becomes a crisis if you just feel stressed and overwhelmed. We are absolutely here.
You know, Ashley, I don't know if you saw, I put it in our messaging in our office, and it might have been while you were out. But there was a TED talk done by a researcher down, actually it's a TEDx. I don't know the difference between a TED talk or it's anyone who's not familiar with TED talk. It's, I don't know how to describe it. It's just professionals or speakers get up about a topic area, and it's usually very insightful and informative. And she talked about the mental health crisis in America that we're all going through. But she basically said a lot of it can be mitigated if we just train people to learn how to listen and talk to each other.
Yes.
And to me, you said exactly what you said, it hits it right there. Like before it gets to that crisis, if you just need somebody to help sort through what's going through your head, right, make that call before it escalates into something even more, if you will.
And it is often assumptions. I mean, I'm thinking of a call. We had a professional some time ago that had been laid off and was did not feel able to talk to their spouse or their children or anyone in their family, and was thinking about ending their life. This was just such a catastrophic thing, such a high level professional, suddenly this identity and, you know, the income. But in conversations with our staff, you know, one of the things we do is ask about the relationships, and they described a very loving partner. And so we were able to kind of reflect that back, and they called back later to tell us, you know, I did talk to my partner, and they were great, right? So sometimes we are so wrapped up in it that we're not thinking as clearly, and it helps to have someone walk you through, as you said, Sean.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead. I was going to switch because I don't want to skip over some of the other programs that you have. And I know we've got limited time today, but one of the other programs that we get to see a lot out in the community is the Help Me Grow program. And I know that Karen, who we see often in that program, has been great with our St. Lucie Reads initiative and helping us get books out into the community and working with John Caesar in our office. But can you talk a little bit about Help Me Grow? I feel like it's like the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm like, when you have somebody that's just getting started, you know, tiny life that you're caring for, talk a little bit about Help Me Grow.
It's such a fabulous program, such a great initiative. The idea is, let's take, as you said, these tiny new lives, whatever stages the children are, but as early as possible, we work with 0 to 8, and let's see, are they developing on track? And this did not exist when I had my little kids, and I was a worrier, so I would have been taller, you know, right? So what we can do is, there's an ages and stages questionnaire. We fill them out with people sometimes at special events or fairs we're at, but people can call. We can do it over the phone. And it just asks for really little kids. It's just asking the parent, you know, do you see this? Are you noticing that? And it identifies, does it seem like development is on track? If it is, then we can tell that parents, you're doing good. Let's talk in 6 months, right? But and that's reassuring. But if it's not, we can refer them to a more involved evaluation and help get them plugged in. And we've seen all kinds of things. We've seen, you know, a little boy who had some what seemed like speech delays, and it turned out to be hearing loss. And the child needed surgery. And the doctor said that if he wasn't getting the surgery right then, he could have permanent delays, right?
Wow.
But if you catch it in time, so often we can head these things off. And hopefully in that situation, the child should have no long-term lasting impacts whatsoever. So we just want to catch those little things while they're still little and do what we can to resolve them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the ages and stages question, which is the developmental assessment, is so important. And, you know, there's multiple entities that have that, right, coming in to do it because it's that important. But how easy is it to do just to pick up the phone? I'm just saying, like, no travel. You don't have to make an appointment. Just call 211.
Right, exactly. And going back to your to the comment about all of the resources that we have available. So you can call, you can text, you can email. We said that you actually can go online and look in our resource directory. And I do recommend that highly, much better than Googling, because when you Google, what happens is you just get inundated with anything that may or may not relate anywhere pretty much in the world, right? Whereas ours are the local resources in the area that you're really looking for, and they've been vetted. You don't know what you're going to get when you Google.
That's true, because what you may be clicking on is the entity that paid the most money to be the highest on that list, right?
It could be. I don't know. You don't think money would drive people's...
No, I mean, Google's very philanthropic.
Yeah.
I say that as a proud Google phone owner. All right. So,
You know, we all use Google and there's a place for it, right? But when you're looking for help, let's look at vetted resources in your community.
So I know we're obviously we're the Children's Services Council. So obviously we're mostly concerned about children's services and issues, but you have this really cool project. We always talk, I mean, you have multiple cool projects, and I don't know if we'll have enough time, but sure. I want to talk about the Sunshine Calls, because having it's because, you know, my parents are no longer with us, but at one point, they retired and they moved to kind of, you know, they kind of wanted to move into the country-ish, if you will. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase it. They just wanted to move rural, because it was definitely rural. I don't know if it was country, but it was rural.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they fell upon poor health, and they were kind of, because they weren't close to anything, it really felt like they were almost isolated.
Yeah.
And I could see, particularly when my father passed and my mom was there, and some of it was her own, I'm going to be honest, but she isolated herself sometimes. But you could see you could see almost the decline, for lack of a better word, because they isolated themselves between, her daily interaction was the TV.
And it's not healthy.
It's not healthy at all. But you guys have a great program that really helps mitigate some of this.
Yeah, let me tell you about it. And it really gets back, Sean, to what you said about all of us being so interconnected, right? So we all have parents. So if you have children and you're worried about your parents, that's going to be a drain, you know, on adding stress to your life. So knowing about something like Sunshine is good for everybody. So what we do is, for these isolated elderly individuals, we have usually volunteers, a whole team of volunteers that makes a call, and we call, we have over right now throughout the region, we have in the ballpark of about 600 people we call every single day. So we schedule a time, you know, when is going to work for you? We call at that time. If we don't get someone, we have a backup system. So we check with the backup to make sure they're okay. And before the show, we were all sharing stories about situations where we know something like that saved somebody's life, right? They didn't answer. We had to send help. We've actually had a situation where someone on the phone with our Sunshine person didn't sound right, wasn't articulating normally, and we called for help, and they were having a stroke. We identified that in the call, got help, saved their life. So we love our Sunshine program. It is life-saving, and like you said, Sean, it's also a small antidote for people who become isolated. And the older they get, they sometimes can't drive. They've moved away from family. Maybe a partner has passed away. Some of their siblings and friends have passed away. They get very, very isolated. And research now shows that, you know, loneliness is very bad for our health. They're saying worse than cigarette smoking, right? So it's very, we are hardwired to be connected with people.
Yeah.
So we're happy to do that.
And, you know, and I recognize we have 2 minutes left on the program, and I'm looking at the list of all the programs that you have. And I'll just say, if you ever need any help, if you're a veteran, if you're elderly, if you have young kids, or if you just want to know if there's anybody out there to help you directly with whatever you're facing, I'm not saying call 211 if you want to order a pepperoni pizza, but I'm saying call 211 if you need help with your mortgage, call 211 if you can't make ends meet, call 211 if you're looking for resources for your family, whether they be, you know, 0 years old or 99 years old. It's really the place to go, right?
Yes, Sean, you got it. You didn't even need me. You know our stuff. Thank you.
And so I do want to point out one thing that we work with you closely on, and just in a minute that we have left, the special needs hotline.
Yeah.
So if we have any families that have children with special needs, you have an advocate there that kind of knows the, helps navigate the system, if you will.
Exactly. So that's giving that little extra help, more support and navigation than they would get just from a call. And that allows us to be able to follow up, check in, give recommendations. So yeah, please reach out to us. We are here for you.
All right. We have come to the end of the time. And Ashley, you'll be proud. I didn't even elaborate much on the voice impression.
I was waiting for it, but
now I've missed out.
I'm going to write up a business plan on how you can make millions of money by having like William Dafoe impersonators, Robert De Niro do the sunshine calls. How fun would that be? All right.
Delightful.
All right, everybody. And we want to thank you. Let's give thanks to Sharon for being our guest, our first time on the show, but not the program itself. And we're very grateful that you came on. We want to remind everybody, if you happen to miss the radio program, do not fret, do not fear. It's also a podcast. Just pull up your favorite podcast app, including iPhones, and just look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council, and that show will be automatically delivered because we are grateful for every listen. Be sure to share the information, and a reminder that it's our children, our community, our future. Now more than ever, folks, we're all in this together. We'll see you next time.